A couple of weeks ago, I wrote three letters to three friends of mine. Each of those friends are in prison. Two of those friends, I sat in on their murder trials. Another of those friends worked for us and me at the plant. You know, we've been talking about over the course of some weeks, things don't always turn out the way we plan, do they? Things don't always turn out the way we like. And today we're going to talk about that again. Things don't always turn out the way we plan. Sometimes, as a matter of fact, all kinds of mayhem and mischief and harm break out in our lives. And it's probably at those times we wonder, does God care? Does He even exist? Sometimes, I suppose, when all heck has broken loose in your life, we probably wonder, does God care? Does He recognize what I'm going through? We are wondering sometimes, I suppose, if He even exists, because things aren't turning out the way we would plan. The things aren't turning out the way we would like. I think there are people here today that know what I'm talking about. I know there are, as a matter of fact. Well, I sent these three guys these letters, and I just wanted to encourage them and to remind them that God is alive. To remind them that God not only is alive, but He loves them. He knows them by name, and He cares for them. And one of those friends, you know his name, and this is no secret. One of those friends wrote back, his name is Randy Sheekwin. Randy grew up right here in this town. Went to school right here, worked for us at the plant. Randy hasn't had a lot of time for God in his life. He will admit that. But in that letter that Randy wrote back to me, here's what he said, among a lot of other things. He said, I thank God every morning and every night for all the blessings that I have in my life. He's behind bars. And this is what he wrote to me. I thank God every morning and every night for the blessings that I have in my life. Do we do that? We're not behind bars. And he goes on to say, I do believe He is here for me and my family. There are so many wonderful gifts that He has given me. Isn't that incredible? He continues to write, somehow this all fits into God's plan for me. I may not see it right now, but that's okay. You see, friends, I assure you that Randy didn't get up one morning and say, I'm going to go to prison here in a little while. That ain't what he said. I'm going to get up one morning and I'm going to plan to do something. I'm going to end up in prison. That's not what he planned to do. But he is there right now. And he's going to be there for a while. And I assure you this, brothers and sisters, I did Randy and Tracy's wedding here a couple years ago, and I assure you this, he didn't plan on missing the first six years of his little girl while he was in prison either. Because his little girl was just born, and off to prison for 6 years he went. But remember what I've said over the last course of time that we've been talking about this. Remember that I said sometimes things happen. We don't understand. But sometimes those things happen because God loves us too much to leave us go in the direction we were going. You hearing me this morning? Sometimes God is going to intervene because our life's direction is not going the right way. He loves us too much to take ourselves to self-destruction. Take ourselves to eternity apart from Him. He loves us too much for that. And sometimes things happen, and may I say, this intervention of God sometimes hurts. Physically and emotionally, sometimes this hurts. But God loves us too much to let us go on a pathway apart from Him. I sent Randy another letter this last week, and I'm looking forward to his response this time to see how he's doing. in his days there and in his walk with Jesus. And may I just say, brothers and sisters, I believe Randy's name isn't on the prayer focus, but I believe if you put it there and we begin to pray for him and continue to pray for him, I believe him and God are going to work things out. So I would encourage you, if you would, put his name down there in that prayer focus and remember to pray for him. And so we've concluded over these weeks of looking at things don't always turn out the way we like or the way we plan. We've concluded that's a fact, haven't we? They don't always turn out the way we plan. And let me just say, before I go any further, God is not the author of all harm. You know the story of Job. You know the story, you probably know the story in Corinthians of Paul that said, God, I got this thorn in my flesh. Will you remove it? This messenger of Satan. Will you remove that? God is not always the author of harm. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that he loves us too much to leave us go in a direction that excludes him, and he may intervene in ways that hurt. And so I just want us to be clear about that. I'm not saying he's the author of all hurt. But I am saying he loves you so much that he may put obstacles in your way to redirect where you're going. Now let me ask you to think about this. I've been thinking about when things don't always work out the way we plan. I've been thinking about what would be the ultimate and didn't work out the way I planned. What if perchance we're going through life and we're having a pretty good time and we think we got some things figured out and we figure, spiritually speaking, we have things under control. When I say spiritually speaking, I talk to people all the time and I talk to them about where are you at in your spiritual journey? And they say, well, I believe in God. I go to church once in a while and I'm not that bad. Those are the kind of answers that I hear a lot of times. And so those folks at that current status are thinking, I pretty well got things figured out. And so what if we're walking through life and we think we've got everything figured out, spiritually speaking, but what if we don't have it figured out at all? We think we had it figured out because we're a pretty good person. Been to church some. What if we didn't have it figured out at all and we got to eternity's entrance and God said to us, I don't know who you are. Would you agree that that's probably the ultimate in things not turning out the way we planned? I think it would be. I think that would be the ultimate in things didn't turn out the way I planned, because I'm scooting through life here and I'm a pretty good person and I'm doing my thing, but I even believe in God. And then all of a sudden, eternity begins and I hear these words from God himself. I don't know who you are. Depart from me. That to me would be the ultimate in unplanned reality. The ultimate in, boy, things didn't turn out the way I planned. Do you think that would ever happen, brothers and sisters? Do you think that'll happen on eternity's morn? Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 7:21. I've only got a couple of verses in Matthew 7. Matthew 7 is a great chapter. It's the last chapter of the three chapters in the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew 7:21-23, Jesus says this: Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then Jesus said, Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And if you go on just a few more verses, Jesus in verse 24, if you remember, missionary Don Corax spoke to us this spring about that. Jesus said, Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them is like a man who built his house upon the rock. And so Jesus is saying here, many will have thought in their mind, I've got it, spiritually speaking, I've got it all figured out. Jesus is saying here that many on that day will have walked through this very temporary, very short, very fleshly life thinking, I've got it all figured out, only to find out on that day they didn't have anything figured out, spiritually speaking. I told the earlier service, and let me just say to you again, friends, I'm not your judge. Believe me, I'm not. God is our judge. But God has called me to be a watchman. You say, Jim, what is a watchman? Well, you got to kind of read through Ezekiel to understand that terminology. It's in the Old Testament, they would sit on the edge of the city, the high in the top of the city, and they'd be watching out for impending danger or messengers or anything else. The watchman would keep an eye out, and the watchman would warn the people in the city that something's coming. That's what a watchman is. And God has called me to be a watchman for such a time as this, and in this community, in this church. And I'm just here to tell you plainly, friends, that if we've not been born again, if we've not applied the blood of Jesus, if we've not surrendered ourselves to Jesus Christ as Lord, we're not ready. We're going to wake up on eternity's morning. Those are the words we're going to hear. That's not the words of Jim. That's the words of Jesus. And so, I just want to tell you this too. We can know we have eternal life. 1 John 5:12 and 13, I love those verses. 1 John 5:12 says, he that has a son has life. The son, S-O-N, that's Jesus. He that does not have the son does not have life. You say, well, Jim, I believe in Jesus. Praise God. Have you received him as Lord? Have you surrendered to him as Lord? And 1 John 5 and 13 says that we can know we have eternal life. And this eternal life is through the Son. It's all about Jesus. Now, with that in mind, I want you to take comfort if you know Jesus Christ as Lord. But with that in mind, look at what Jesus is saying in these three short verses. Many are going to get there on eternity's morning and say, but God... They're going to hear the words, depart from me, I don't know you. And then they're going to say, but God, I went to church, but God, I believed you were real, but God, I was a board member in the church, I was a deacon, I was a preacher, I was a priest, whatever. Many, Jesus said, are going to get there at eternity's entrance and say, but God. And they're only going to hear, depart from me, because I don't know who you are. They never took the time to know Jesus Christ as Lord. They never surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord. And so, even though we will stand there and proclaim to God how great and mighty things that we did for the church, even in Jesus' name, many, he said, if they were not born again in their spirit, surrendered in our own agenda, surrendered in our mind to follow him, many, he said, will not be ready for eternity that day. Many will hear, I never knew you, depart from me. And we might be wondering at this point, then what in the world does it take? What in the world? Jesus gives us that very plainly. But him and her that does the will of my Father. What's the will of his Father? We know for a fact, we've seen it, we've been looking at it for some time, that God is not willing that any should perish. But friends, to claim I'm a Christian, I'm as Christian as the next. I had somebody tell me this. I'm as Christian as the next, by golly. To claim to be a Christian and follow the world is not a follower of Jesus. That's what Jesus is talking about. To say I'm a Christian in word, what about my heart? What about who I am when people aren't looking? What about how I treat my spouse or my children or my boss or my employee? What about when people aren't looking? Am I saying I'm a Christian in name only, or has God taken up residence in me and changed me Am I a new creation in Christ because He's redeemed me? I told the earlier service this morning, I had a lot of time to think yesterday afternoon sitting in that tree that was going like this in the wind. And I was thinking about this. 78% of Americans claim to be Christians today. Wonderful. But are we Christians because we've been born again? Or are we Christians because it seems like the right thing to do? I was thinking about, do I claim to be a Christian and still look and live and talk and walk like the world? Because that's not the Father's will. It's not the Father's will that His church looks like the world. Do I think that I've gotten baptized or go to church or whatever else and it's good enough and then spend almost all my time, talent, energy, and doing other stuff and Jesus never gets anything of me or almost nothing? Because that's not the Father's will. Friends, we can't even know the Father's will until we've been born again. Until we've received Christ as Lord and His Spirit comes into us and the Word begins to be illuminated to us. You know what Paul says? Paul writes about this book. He said, this is foolishness to them that are perishing. This doesn't make any sense at all. But when we've been born again, when we've surrendered completely to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, all of a sudden this thing makes a whole lot of sense. We can't even know the Father's will until we've wanted to get in touch with the Master and we've surrendered our hearts and lives to Him. It all starts with Jesus. It all ends with Jesus. Our faith in Jesus, our trusting in Him, our surrendering to Him. When He called the disciples, I've told you this before, but it's a good illustration. When He called the disciples, Peter could say, you know what, Lord? I'm cutting out on our Tim. You know what, Lord? I do believe You are the Son of God, but I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go about my own thing here. When God calls us to come follow you, Him, He's not calling every one of us to be pastors, evangelists, priests, or teachers, but He is calling us to follow. To surrender to the Lordship of Christ and follow. He's calling us to follow. That's the Father's will. John Wesley said it this way about following. He said, denying ourselves and taking up our cross is not a little side issue. It is absolutely necessary to becoming or continuing to be a disciple of Jesus. If we don't practice self-denial, we are not His disciples. It is useless to try to follow the One who is crucified on the cross without taking up our own cross daily. I think he's right. We can't follow the One who died on the cross at Calvary until we're willing to take up our own cross and follow. That's the will of the Father. And so let me just conclude this because our time is about up, friends. There's a lot of verses in the Bible. Wonderful verses. Tell us what we got to do. Tell us about being born again. Tell us about believing and receiving Jesus Christ as Lord. Tell us about confessing our sins. Tell us about opening up our heart's door to the Lord as Savior of our lives. Lots of verses that tell us how to do that. Lots and lots of them. Verses that tell us, as Jesus said to Martha in John 11, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Wonderful promises. But friends, until we have gotten right with Jesus, until we have been born again in our spirit, until we have surrendered our wills and our agendas completely to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we're just going through life. We must surrender to Jesus as Lord. And on that day, we'll hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so I just want to urge you this morning, do not assume because you're a church attender or you've been baptized or you were a deacon member or something else that on eternity's morn everything is all right unless you have been born again, unless you have surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord. Do not assume that I'm barreling on through life here and everything spiritually speaking is just right until you have surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord. Then it's going to be all right. It's all about Jesus. I want to invite you this morning. If you want to come and kneel at the altar, then come and pray. Come and kneel at the altar. Come and pour your heart out to God. Say, Lord, I want to be your child. I want to be your servant. Forgive me of my sin. I want to be born again. I want my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to follow Jesus. Eternity depends on what you do with Jesus. It's not about church membership. You know what Jesus was saying in that passage? There's all kind of folks in all kind of churches saying, Lord this and Lord that. They're not ready to go to heaven. And so I don't want you to be one of them. I want you to get right with God today. If you're not sure, you're bound for glory with Jesus forever. Pastor Isaac is here. You want to pray with him? Pray with him. Pastor Les is here. You want to pray with him? Pray with him. You want to kneel at the altar? Then kneel at the altar and pray. But unless you've been born again, friends, don't assume everything's okay in your spiritual world until you've gotten completely right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. You know, when Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way. I am the way. He meant it. He's the only way. He's the only way to God the Father. He's the only way to heaven. It's through Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. And so if you're not absolutely sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life today, I want you to get prepared for eternity because it's coming. Friends, let's bow our heads. And ask ourselves, are we ready if today was it? Has our name been written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Because I have repented of my sin and invited Christ to be Lord, I've been born again. Are we ready for eternity? Friends, if you're not, today is a day of salvation. Stick around here and pray with Pastor Isaac. Surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ today. Brother Les, will you close us in prayer?
Our Father and our God, what a privilege it is to know you, Jesus. I thank you for this day that you blessed us with. I thank you for the blood of Jesus. Father, time is running out for us. Every sign points to your coming again for your church. And Father, we know you're coming for a church that's made itself ready. And sometimes, Father, I realize we're not ready. We've done our own thing. We've turned our own way. We've turned our back on you, Father, as a nation. Our churches are backslidden and compromising. Father God, I just pray you pour out your Spirit today upon this community, upon this church. Father, I just pray the Spirit of God would just flow mightily through your people. Set us on fire for Jesus, Father. Help us to bring our families into the family of God. Thank you for this church, Father. Thank you for Pastor Jim, Pastor Isaac, for all the volunteers, those that are dedicated to you, Father. We thank you for them today. We ask that you would go with us now and be with us this week. Lord, if we're not ready, I pray the Spirit of God would make us ready before we even leave the sanctuary today. Life is so fragile, uncertain. We don't have the promise tomorrow. Today we need to get right with you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, again. Just go with us now, we pray, and have your way in our hearts. We pray it in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.